Welcome to our service for the 15th Sunday after Trinity. For today's service, I'm indebted to the podcast We Have Ways, which is written and presented by the unlikely combination of the comedian Al Murray and the war historian James Holland. I'm using it because we're going to remember one of Britain's most successful World War II generals, Bill Slim, and look at what he might be able to teach us about leadership. But we begin with the Welsh hymn, Welen sefych rhwng y myrtys, see him stand among the myrtles.
Welen sefych rhwng y myrtys, wrth wych telwm o'm hoch fryd, mae'r rhan yr oen adnabod, a'i fod i'wch law gwrth chair byd. Hen ffich fore, hen ffich fore, caf a'i wered fel y mae, a caf a'i wered fel y mae. Ros i'n saron i'l aenw, gwyn a gryd o'r teg o bryd, ar ddeng mil y mae'n rhagori, o'ch rychau pen ar byd. Ffrind pechadur, ffrind pechadur, da mae barod ar y môr, da mae barod ar y môr. Beth sy'n i mwy anelwydd, ag ai lun o'r gwael y llawr, tystio'r oedd nad yw ei cwmni, yw'r ystadlu am Iesu mawr. Am aros, am aros, ar y gariad ddyddiau foes, ar y gariad ddyddiau foes.
So time for our prayers of penitence. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross, many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 15th Sunday after Trinity. God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit on your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you, we may be found steadfast in faith and active in service. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And for our New Testament reading, we continue in the Epistle of James, which we began last week, James chapter 2. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favouritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonoured the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? They who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfil the royal law according to the scripture, "You shall love your neighbour as yourself." But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law's transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what's the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all a song in itself is not what you require. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. One part of Fran's training is a Church in Wales course on leadership. She's been participating in it for some time. It's a new initiative, and I think and hope a very helpful one. Over the next few years, God willing, you will reap some of the benefits of it as Fran becomes leader of our churches. I found myself wondering, though, how a church course in leadership would feel to someone like Fran, who spent a large part of her career in the armed forces, where you would expect that leadership is quite a major theme. Arising from that thought, I want to spend a few minutes in this address thinking, as we said about the beginning, of a British hero of the Second World War and what we might learn from him about leadership. He was a general. His name was Bill Slim, and he will forever be synonymous with the war in the jungles of Burma, as it was then called. For a text, perhaps we might take a text that Slim might have shared with his troops, taken from today's Old Testament reading. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. When Slim took command in Burma in 1942, the British Army was at its lowest ebb. The Japanese had swept the British out of Singapore, Hong Kong, Malaya, as it then was, and then Burma. And what was left of the British East Army had retreated across the border into what was then northern India, now Bangladesh. Morale was shockingly low. Their defeat had been so rapid and so complete that the troops and many of their leaders had come to believe in the Japanese soldier as a mythical, unstoppable force. Somehow, even the jungle seemed to them on Japan's side, as though the Japanese were suited to fighting in it in the way that the British never could be. In one of our discussions about the Bishop's Pruning for Growth programme, one of our lay members asked me why, instead of talking about closing empty churches, we were not discussing ways of filling them. It gave me pause. Have we perhaps subconsciously accepted that the forces arrayed against us are unstoppable? It's worth looking, perhaps, at how Bill Slim addressed that issue and asking if there is anything we can learn from it. Slim brought a fresh eye to the difficulties of the 14th Army. During the annual monsoon, when campaigning was forced to pause, he gave himself time to analyse the problems confronting them. It was obvious that morale was foremost among these. His men would never defeat the enemy unless they believed they could. So his first steps were focused on restoring the morale of the troops. He didn't do it, though, and indeed it couldn't have been done just by pep talks and motivational techniques. First, he completely revolutionized training and taught the men new strategies and tactics for fighting the Japanese, which they could believe in. And crucially, everybody, even the clerks and storesmen of the backroom staff, took part in this retraining. It was for everyone, so that everyone knew how they intended to fight, and everyone could fight if they were called upon. Everyone, in modern parlance, had to get with the programme. But the second thing that Slim did for morale was to organise state-of-the-art medical support. In the inhospitable terrain and climate in which they were fighting, as many men were made ineffective by disease, especially malaria, as by being wounded in action. Now, they were to be given the best medical support available. It had a dual effect. It preserved their health for active service, but more importantly, it also convinced them that the top brass were looking out for them. Far from being disposable, they were made to feel indispensable. It was important, too, that they knew that Slim to some extent shared their experience. He was not a typical example of the English officer class from public school and Oxbridge. As a soldier, he'd worked his way up from the bottom, and been wounded in action in the horrors of Gallipoli in World War I, and twice more in later campaigns. He was a worker, but a steady worker without being showy about it. He was early to bed and early to rise, and said quite bluntly that generals who stayed up working all hours of the night first wore themselves out, and then their men. Slim was also a genius in sharing leadership, and especially in finding problem solvers. He made sure that he got the right subordinates in the right jobs, and that they shared his vision of what needed to be done, and then he let them get on with it. Often, they were men of immense practicality and ingenuity. One of the difficulties of supply, for example, was feeding the men, not least because the Army of the East included soldiers of so many different nationalities and religions with different dietary requirements. And again, the responses of Slim's hand-picked quartermaster and his corps were innovative, bordering on revolutionary. They planted 18,000 acres of vegetables to grow for themselves, brought in duck farmers from nearby China so that they had a continuous supply of eggs, and so on. Practically also, there was no rock or stone to build roads which could carry military traffic. So what they did was build brick kilns every 20 miles or so, baked their own bricks, and made brick roads. Slim's attitude to all this was expressed in a later address to the Press Association. No boats, we'll build them. No vegetables, we'll grow them. No eggs, duck farms. No road metal, we'll bake our own bricks and lay 'em. Malaria, we'll stop it. Medium guns failing, we'll cut 3 foot off the barrels and keep firing. We were looking in the lectionary recently at Ephesians 4:11-12. The list of ministries within the early church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we saw that they were given, said Paul, to equip God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. The church then, as we are now, was in a missionary situation, needing to do new things to build up the body of Christ. In their case, it was because they were inventing the church from scratch. In our case, we need to do new things because it's obvious that the old things are not working anymore, just as the old tactics had not worked for the British Army in the Far East. They needed new ways of doing things. Bill Slim's example would suggest that the first job of being a Christian leader in our times will be to convince us that the forces arrayed against us are not unstoppable. They will need to be able to show us new ways of doing things and to convince us that we are able to do them. Bringing a fresh eye to the difficulties we face, they will need to convince us that the problems can be solved. They will need to be examples of steady but not showy workmanship. Leaders who can choose other leaders well, show them that they are trusted, and give them the freedom to get on with things. Such a leader will probably bear the scars of battle themselves, but above and beyond that, they will show us that they will tend to our wounds and weaknesses too, so that they are able to challenge us and reassure us in equal measure that we are indispensable to the program of building up the body of Christ, every one of us. So perhaps we might finish by repeating some words from today's collect as a prayer for ourselves. Lord, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you we may be found steadfast in faith and active in service. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
was crucified, who died to save us all, dear friend, who died to save us all. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered then, dear friend, he hung and suffered then. He died that we might be forgiven, he died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood, dear friend, saved by his precious blood. Of sin, he only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in, dear friend, of heaven and let us in. Oh, he loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood, and try his works to do, dear friend, and try his works to.
Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Entad, Hunoitin the Nevoith, Sanctathia de Enu, Deleda Dernas, Gunella de Wuchlis, Megis and Anev, Vesli Aradear Heavy, Deroni Heathu en Barab en Adiol, Amada in the end of Ledion, Velamadeon in the end of Ledwir, Aknak Aroni Bravedigaith, Eitha gored ni rhag drwg. Canis eitho ti o'r dirnas a'r gathlu a'r gogolniant yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Lord, awaken us to your glory. Open our eyes to your presence. Open our ears to your call. Open our hearts to your love, that we may proclaim that you are among us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray this week for those still suffering from the awful disaster at Grenfell Tower, those bereaved and injured, those striving for justice. We remember those who have been found culpable. We pray, Lord, for an understanding for them of their own fault. And we pray for our corporate culture, not just in business, but in all organisations, in councils and indeed in churches, that we would not create cultures which exclude consideration of people outside them in fostering self-protection. We pray especially for the Church in this regard in relation to historical accusations of child abuse, that we would be open to see our faults and to mend our ways. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray especially for Israel-Palestine. We give thanks that our government has reflected upon the sale of arms to Israel and has sent a signal that we should not be supporting any action that is illegal. We pray for those who are suffering in this conflict on both sides. We pray for the families of the hostages who were murdered last week. We pray for all who seek peace, both in Israel-Palestine, in Ukraine and Russia, in the Sudan, in Yemen, and in all places where there is conflict. We pray that you would turn the hearts of the men of violence from wickedness to justice and to peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember before you those on our hearts for prayer from our families, whether near or far, from our churches, from our communities, and from among our friends. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them and that they would know your presence and be reassured that we are praying for them. We pray especially this week for children and young people, especially the many, many children who are struggling, it seems, with school, unable to efface attendance there. We pray for parents, teachers, head teachers, for those who make policy for schools, that we may find ways of supporting all children so that they may find going to school not an ordeal, but a pleasure. We thank you for the gift of education and everything it brings to us. And we pray, Lord, that these young children who are excluded from it, whether by their own choice or parental choice, through illness, whatever it may be, we pray that they may find ways to benefit from the gifts of education that we are given. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember those we have lost, those who are grieving, those who are sorrowful, those who are facing their last days. Be with them, Lord, we pray. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Son, endless is the victory.
Now the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.